From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, November 19th. I'm Abby Larico. Towns in the Metro East have seen increased sales tax revenue this year. That's after Illinois started collecting tax on online sales from out of state.
So I do feel like what the state has done here, and time will tell, you know, again, this is year one, so it won't be overly optimistic, but it's a good example of how policy change at the state level can have very tangible impacts at the local level.
STLPR's Will Bauer reports that while municipal leaders are feeling good about the results, it's not totally clear the change is the only reason for the increase. Plus, the Trump administration has cut national science research grants by more than $1 billion. Missouri S&T is doing okay with theirs, for now.
That leads to some faculty having uncertainty, but I think, you know, good science is still being funded.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan All finds the campus in Rolla that relies on outside funding for research and growth is cautiously optimistic. Those stories coming up after this news on The Gateway. The trial to remove St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery from office hit a roadblock because Montgomery was not released from federal custody. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports the trial was set to begin yesterday, but now won't begin until later today.
St. Louis Circuit Judge Stephen R. Omer postponed the state trial to oust the sheriff. Omer argues it would be hard to have a fair trial without Montgomery present. The sheriff is also facing several federal charges and was jailed after a judge ruled he violated his bond. Last week, Montgomery's lawyers requested that he be released for the trial, but had not received a decision. Retired Judge David C. Mason is representing Montgomery. He says it's the federal judge's call.
He has no responsibility to help out the state case. We can ask, but he makes the rulings that he feels are appropriate in the context of what he is presiding over, and we have to respect that.
The trial was rescheduled to begin Wednesday. Sheriff's attorneys say Montgomery will be in the courtroom. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
A Jackson County Circuit Court struck down a Missouri law that banned library books. As Savannah Holly Bates reports, the law also would have made it a crime for school employees to supply, quote, sexually explicit material to students.
The circuit court judge ruled that the 2022 law was unconstitutionally vague and overbroad. The law sought to expand Missouri's regulations on pornography to create an offense of providing sexually explicit material to a student. It had applied to people working in elementary or secondary schools and in official capacity. The Missouri Independent reports that the Missouri Association of School Librarians and the Missouri Library Association challenged the law after hundreds of books were removed from shelves. They argued that it impeded free speech rights. I'm Savannah Holly Bates.
Opposing organizations have poured millions of dollars into Missouri to fund the fight over the state's gerrymandered redistricting map. Most of the money is from out of state. In just the last week, state records show a Trump-associated organization called Securing American Greatness donated $1 million to Put Missouri First. That's the group defending the map aimed at securing another Republican House seat from Missouri. The National Education Association kicked in $250,000 to People Not Politicians, that's the group opposing the map. In all, the Missouri Independent reports the two opposing groups have raised almost $7 million. All of this fundraising comes ahead of two court hearings early next week on the map itself and a referendum next year. A St. Louis program aimed at providing legal aid to thousands of people facing eviction fell well short of its goals in its first year. As St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri reports, advocates complain the program is underfunded.
In the ordinance that originally approved the program in 2023, the city aimed to serve roughly 1,300 people in its first year. But a recent annual report shows the program provided only 343 people facing eviction with legal defense. Rachel Ortada is a member of Action St. Louis's Tenants' Rights Campaign. She and other advocates say the city underfunded the program.
The program isn't robust or sustainable enough to support the number of people who are facing eviction in St. Louis. And the city also is not really feeling pressure about fully funding it.
Originally, the city estimated the program needed up to $2.5 million for its first 2 years. Currently, it receives roughly 20% of that amount. An oversight hearing on the program will be held at City Hall on Wednesday night. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
A new report finds that an estimated 800,000 people in the U.S. have died from firearms since the beginning of the 21st century. The report also offers some solutions to lower this number in the future. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell has details.
The Journal of the American Medical Association published a report earlier this month based on a March summit that brought together 60 experts to discuss firearm violence. Dr. Sandro Galea, dean of the Margaret C. Ryan School of Public Health at Washington University, co-authored this report, which includes steps towards less gun violence by 2040. Galea was a guest on St. Louis on the Air.
None of this is challenging the Second Amendment. None of this is challenging that people feel strongly about guns as part of the culture. All it's doing is saying, let us create a world where we and our children are safer.
The steps include increasing research on firearm-related issues and changing the narrative around crime and gun violence. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth has fired a Belleville-based staffer accused of misrepresenting himself as an attorney. Last week, the Department of Homeland Security said the Democratic senator's employee identified himself as a lawyer for a Staunton, Illinois man who's been detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. In a letter sent to DHS, Duckworth says she and her staff were unaware and did not direct the conduct described by the federal government. She wrote that she terminated the employee Monday. An attorney for the former staffer declined to comment. Duckworth's office could not be immediately reached. The employee has been accused of intervening in the case of Ismael Ayuso Sandoval. ICE detained him last month for violating four deportations and also having a 2008 DUI conviction. Starting today, Illinois residents can store their driver's licenses or state IDs on their iPhones in the Wallet app. Secretary of State Alexi Janulius says residents can pull up their IDs on their phones or Apple Watches and present them in person and online. That includes at the TSA checkpoints at airports in the state. Janulius says millions of Illinoisans will benefit.
Your ID now lives securely in the same place that you already tap to pay for groceries, present a boarding pass for a flight, or enter a concert. All protected by the same cutting-edge privacy and encryption technology that you trust every day on the devices that you already love.
The program will soon expand to Google and Samsung wallets for Android users. Metro East towns collected more sales tax the first half of this year compared to the first half of last year. Tax experts and municipal officials say Illinois now taxing out-of-state online transactions could be part of the reason why. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports.
Of eight Metro East towns analyzed, all saw more sales tax revenue in the first half of this year compared to last year. That's according to data provided by the Taxpayers Federation of Illinois. Murray Scholten is the nonpartisan advocacy group's president.
It's a good change as far as from local government to generate additional revenue in statewide, probably hundreds of millions of dollars. It does add an additional layer of complexity to our overly complicated sales tax structure already.
Now, it's important to note that the Taxpayers Federation and municipal leaders say the change to Illinois' tax code isn't the only factor at play. Inflation, businesses opening and closing, and changes in spending could all share some of the responsibility here. The results have also varied. In Edwardsville, sales tax revenue increased 67% in the first 6 months of the year. That's from $7 million to nearly $12 million. In Collinsville, they've seen a 21% increase. City Manager Derek Jackson says the change has been a good modernization.
That change simply means that more of those tax dollars are staying local, supporting roads, parks, public safety in the community where they come from. So I do feel like what the state has done here, and time will tell, you know, again, this is year one, so I don't be overly optimistic, but it's a good example of how policy change at the state level can have very tangible impacts at the local level.
But just south in Fairview Heights, sales tax receipts only increased half a percentage point in the first 6 months of 2025. Mayor Mark Kupski says his city, home to the St. Clair Square Mall, had been especially hard hit by the pandemic, and the town is still recovering. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Trump administration is looking to cut the National Science Foundation's budget for research programs by more than $1 billion. That is putting many universities in a difficult position. But at Missouri University of Science and Technology in Rolla, NSF grants are still coming in. St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan All reports.
Shelley Mintier is an electrochemist.
Which means that I either like to put electricity into my chemistry or get electricity out of it.
She's a chemistry professor at Missouri S&T who has won two National Science Foundation grants this year to research ways to improve biomanufacturing. They'll total more than $27 million over the next 5 years. Last year, the campus received about $8 million in NSF grants. It's the kind of funding the campus in Rolla relies on to meet education and research goals. It's also the kind of government funding that was on the chopping block under the Trump administration's DOGE efforts. But S&T, so far, is doing okay. Mintier says since Trump made his cuts, things have been different.
The patterns are changing, how the process is changing, and that leads to some faculty having uncertainty. But I think, you know, good science is still being funded.
S&T also benefits from NSF being just one of many different sources of research funding. It gets similar-sized grants from the Departments of Energy and Transportation and almost twice as much from the Department of Defense, areas the Trump administration is not cutting so far. Kamal Kayat is S&T's Vice Chancellor for Research and Innovation. He says he's cautiously optimistic.
Now, the awards have been less because there's a slowdown in the cadence of awarding proposals. The success rate has been hindered. But we have to pivot, and we have to keep on looking for other opportunities.
Kayat says S&T and all universities have to stay nimble. He says the school is working with the private sector to look for more opportunities to meet the campus's research funding goals. In Rolla, I'm Jonathan All, St. Louis Public Radio.
That story was edited by our Brian Moline. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.